Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. This isn't just accessible tech talk. This is technology on a whole new level. We're showing you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
Indeed. Welcome to another episode of Blind Level Tech. I am, of course, your host, Evan Starnes, and I am joined, of course, by my one and only co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Hey, so good to see you, even though I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood, Evan.
Indeed.
And
it is.
I tell you, I think what's exciting about my tech pick of the week is I think I wanted to put the kit together for all of you that wanted to get into podcasting.
Oh, really?
Or wanted to do any audio thing and start at a lower cost, but it's a great setup where you can do a video podcast and get the best podcast possible. So that is an Anchor C Work webcam and the 21 ATR X 2100.
Ooh.
NX. It's the X, yeah. It's
something
an X,
like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something like that. It's an X. And you put that kit together and you have a computer,
you're going to have a solid podcast. Pretty much.
Solid podcast. You can put it on YouTube. You can put it on any platform. And it's going to sound good.
Absolutely.
You're not going to sound like garbage. So what's your tech pick of the week, Evan?
Well, okay. Anything Anchor, you know, is good. And yeah, we're just jumping in here. But my tech pick of the week this week is actually an app that I've had for a while that's been out for a long time called VoiceStream Reader. And why is it my tech pick this week? Well, for those who use the VoiceStream Reader app, it is now possible to, besides using all of the many, many text-to-speech voices they have, you can use your personal voice on your iPhone if you've created one. Yes, you might sound
that's
a little bit monotone, but if you want, yeah, right. If you want to have yourself reading like a PDF or something, you can do that now. But it is kind of scary sounding. But what's
hearing yourself over and over again, that's a little much for me.
Absolutely. But what's not much for me, and definitely what is not scary sounding, is today's guest, Emily Joustra. She is from the Veterans Association and is an assistive technology therapist.
Yes.
Hi, Emily. Welcome to Blind Level Tech.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. It's great to talk with you guys finally and excited to chat today.
Absolutely. Well, what is your tech? What's your favorite piece of tech this week, Emily?
Oh, my goodness. I did not prepare one, to be honest. But
okay.
Off the top of my head, I know you guys just talked about the Scene AI being on Android recently. But I do just want to shout out the Google Lookout app because I really like its product identification stuff. Unlike Scene AI, the product identifier on Google Lookout can actually just see, instead of just the barcode, it can look at the label and also tell you what it is, which is pretty neat. So that's what I will shout out today.
That is awesome. Absolutely. I've praised their product recognition before. It's also just incredibly responsive too.
Oh, yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, well, you work with veterans of, you know, different ages, different levels of tech experience, particularly with vision loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, let's just kind of dive right in here. So when it comes to when you first get a client, per se, I guess we'll use that word,
mm-hmm.
Where do you start with a client first? Like, how do you even begin in the very first place?
Yeah, great question. Well, you know, I get people referred to me specifically for technology through like a different case manager person called a VIST coordinator. You don't have to remember that. There's so many acronyms in the VA. Basically, they'll just be like, if they're talking to their VIST coordinator and they're like, hey, you know, having some trouble with tech, or I want to try this out, they'll get a referral to me. And I have an assessment that I do that is not super complicated. I basically like to explain it to people like, what tech do you have? What's going well? What's not going well? And how can I help out with it? So I go through each and every type of technology they have, you know, phone, tablet, computer, smart speaker, anything like that. Figure out how old it is, figure out the operating system. And if they're doing well with it, fantastic. I don't need to do anything with them. But if they're like, you know, I'd really like to be able to check my emails and I'm having trouble with that, or my screen size is really small and I'm trying to use things a little more visually and that's difficult. Then from there, I help them make goals based off of that, that we work on together. So yeah, the start is just what they have and seeing how it's going.
Absolutely.
So Emily, so as you do this assessment, like as you're starting to see how they're progressing, one thing I come to realize that, because you're working with the VA, so they had vision at some point in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. Because you're probably not seeing anybody born blind at,
right.
At all, probably not. And so I'm just curious. So with this assessment, are you kind of leaning one direction or another, or are you kind of one of those people that just takes everything and tries to mold it to the right person with what is available out to in the world, or try to pinpoint? Are you one of the, like, there's instructors that say, oh, I only train this, I only want you to use this, or have a broad term and use all the different tools and best mold it to that person?
Yeah. Do you have a technology bias?
I have veterans ask me that all the time, and or they'll be like, you know, I don't know if I should go with Apple or Android. What do you suggest? I always tell them I am the worst person to ask that, because my personal phone's an Android, but I also have an iPad at home and a MacBook Air and a Windows laptop. And at work, wow. I use an iPhone and a Windows computer. So I don't really have a bias in that sense. And I do try and make it very individualized to the person that I'm working with. So if someone does have a background with Apple, we'll probably continue with Apple. If they have a background in Android, we'll probably continue with Android, unless there is something that shows like, hey, it would really be better, like this other device would really be better than what you have now or what you're used to using. Because I find that people do best with stuff they're familiar with. So I like to try and come up with a plan that incorporates things that they're familiar with, just maybe with some additional accessibility features.
Yeah, absolutely. What I've noticed in the past from a lot of different training organizations is they really tend to favor Apple and iOS products. Do you know, like, why they would be, why do you think they're favoring these products over Samsung and Android products?
That is a great question. I have a theory. I have not backed it up with any facts, but my theory is that, as you guys probably know, 5-10 years ago, Apple's accessibility was far and beyond what anything Samsung, Android, anything really had. Now, I've only been working in this field for a few years, and so I was learning along with as Android was getting better and integrating more of those accessibility features. So my stance is very much like, hey, whatever works for you, works for you. But I know that people who have been using technology for a while are a lot more biased towards Apple because they were the first ones to have those accessibility features and really do them well. And so the VA sometimes is a little like that as well. I used to work at an inpatient blind rehab center at the VA in Tucson, and they stocked Apple products. if you wanted an Android product, we could special order it, but we didn't have it in stock. So it still kind of is a bias out there, but I think it's slowly going away as people realize that both have really good features on them.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of tell us a little bit. So as you give them, you figure out what the best product is for your client and really see, all right, this is going to be what's going to be ideal. This is what they need. And then how do you then determine how you're going to train them on it? Or are you just kind of, so here's your tools, here it is, and do you have a curriculum do you follow? What do you do from there?
Yeah, no curriculum. I'm flying by the seat of my pants. But so actually part of my assessment, I do ask them what way they like to learn best, like what their preferred learning style is. Because I definitely have some people who are like, just give it to me and I'll figure it out. And I'm like, fantastic. I'll call you in a few weeks and see how it's going. I have other people who are like, I need to see you once a week. We really need to work on this together. I need to see you do it. I need notes. And so I do, it is, again, very individualized. So based on what they tell me there, and also based on how I observe them interacting with it for the new device for the first time, I kind of figure out like, all right, are we going to go more hands-on? Are they going to want some more notes? Are they going to be free to go? This probably is not the most professional, but I go off of vibes a lot of times of how I feel like they're doing.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. I just, oh my gosh, somebody else uses my term.
Vibes. Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. Watch out for those vibes coming, people. Just watch vibes. Them out.
I love it. Mm-hmm. How do you go about, let's say somebody wants to try a device that they don't have, or you know that there's a piece of technology for somebody that would benefit them more than the device they're using. How do you go about like trying those devices out? Like, do you have trial devices at the office that you guys can just kind of mess with?
Yeah, I sure do. So in the office, I have an iPhone, iPad Pro, Samsung tablet, Samsung Galaxy, I think it's the S23 Ultra, an Echo Show, a regular Echo, a Mac computer, and a Windows PC.
Keep me away from your office.
I know. I was going to say. Maybe I shouldn't tell people this is all in my office.
Right.
If it all disappears, we know what happened. But yeah, so I have all of this technology here to trial with. There are some things sometimes that people want to try that I don't have. And if that's the case, I either will try and get the device or work with somebody else who's worked with it before, or just go really in depth online and be like, all righty, I'm going to try and explain this to you best I can and how it's going to work and hope for the best. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So do you find, so on the, when it comes to screen readers, mm-hmm. on your end, because this is always a sticky situation, mm-hmm. is what screen reader you're going to best provide for that individual. What are you finding is fairly more common for people?
That is a very good question, screen reader wise. Do you mean just like computer screen readers or screen readers in general across all platforms?
Kind of all platforms. Because you provide all those different resources. Some people might just need an iPhone. Mm-hmm. Some people might just need a computer, or depending on who they are. Because I know for me, I use an iPhone and Windows computer and an Android. So I'm just all over the place and just a little too crazy.
Yeah.
So in your case, like, what are you finding to help somebody be successful is kind of their kind of screen reader they're going to prefer?
Yeah, most of the time what I would be teaching with a screen reader is VoiceOver, the classic. And even like a step before that, because as you mentioned, a lot of the people I work with, either they had sight and they've lost it, or they're progressively losing it. So if they're not quite at the point of a full screen reader yet, I do a lot of the spoken content features on mm-hmm. On iOS. And also, I forget the official name for it on Android, but that's available
TalkBack.
There too. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. TalkBack. And then the other one that's just, Select to Speak. That's what it's called.
Oh,
Select
yes.
to Speak as well. on computers' ends of things, I will say I don't have a ton of people who do JAWS, but I do have a few people. If we do a screen reader, typically people gravitate towards JAWS. So those are probably the main ones that I'll be teaching over here.
It makes sense being the industry standard, but yeah, I was curious because with all the new, you know, free and different screen readers coming out, so how do you how like extensively do you work with a client and kind of how do you determine you know when to I guess step away?
That is a great question. I will say for a lot of it, I try and leave it up to them. I will start working with them on the goals. And typically I'll say I'll work with someone once every like week or two if they really want to work with me often. There's certain people who, like I said, are very hands-off. They're like, I will figure it out. And I might see them like once a month or once every other month. But I really try and leave it up to them. So once I have written down that, you know, these are the goals we set out during the assessment, seems like you've reached them. What do you think? Do you want to review it with me? Do you want to come back and work on it? Or do you feel like you're good and you can just have me as a backup as needed? So I do try and let them, you know, make that decision. If it is something like they've been with me working for a long time and we're kind of at a learning plateau in the process where we're not really learning anything more, we're not making any progress, then I try to have an honest conversation. You know, just saying, hey, we've been doing this for a while. We're not making a ton of progress. What if we take a break and you come back when you feel like you want to do something else here. So I really do, though, try and leave it up to them. I always tell people, I'm not just going to, you know, kick you out and say good luck. I'm just going to try and let them make that decision for themselves.
Absolutely.
So do you find that people are coming in? I know there's so many different angles that can be approached from this from the vocational side. Are you finding that you're getting a lot of people from that wanting to still work, or are these more like retired people? Kind of overall, like, what are you kind of seeing?
That is a great question. I will say the majority of people that I work with are retired, and their goals are usually more either communication or like recreation than leisure, or like a hobby, for example. Like, they're like, I want to write my life story, so I need to know how to use Word, or I want to be able to video call my grandkids or something like that. But I have worked with a few people who are still in their jobs, and I was able to give them a few like built-in adaptations on like what would be on their work computer because they used Windows to help them out. But I would say the majority is retired people.
Absolutely. Well, I'm personally curious, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. But out of all of the clients you've worked with, and this is kind of a more personal question, but what was like the most notable experience during your career at the VA? Like the most notable client, or just something that you learned a lot from?
That is a great question. You know what? It actually just happened. I had a veteran in his 80s learn voiceover from scratch in about five sessions with me.
Oh my goodness.
He did so good. I think what I did is I put links in his notes app to videos so that he could listen to them. And he was like, Emily, I listened to those every day and I had YouTube autoplay on so it would play related videos and I learned it all. And so that was really great. It's really great to see, you know, when people put in the work and are really motivated to see how quickly they can learn these things. Because I don't know if I've ever taught anybody, no matter what age, voiceover in just like 5 hours.
Nah. I mean, if you got the brains, I'm one of those people too. Before I lost all my clarity and my vision, I didn't really know voiceover, and I literally taught myself within, I think, 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I mastered voiceover.
Impressive.
And so, and it's the same thing with JAWS. Like, I did the same thing with JAWS. Granted, I actually used to do what you did.
But yeah, Calvin, you got like past experience at the.
But I knew nothing about JAWS, and I knew nothing. Well, I mean, I knew about it, but I was able to quickly get myself hired and train, and I built a curriculum to help help people get employed with the county of San Diego.
Wow.
And so,
heck yeah.
So it was a little bit different than what you did in that frame, but we had to do the assessments. We had to do a lot of the similar things. And so it's nice to hear that you're not pinholing people into their technology. Cause that's always one of the biggest struggles is when you have all this technology and you kind of get laser focus on one technology and then you kind of push that kind of on them. But really, I like to hear that you're molding it to the individual.
Giving them the freedom.
And that's kind of what's really important because, like, voiceover is a different technique. JAWS is a whole other technique. Mm-hmm. NVDA is something a little bit different.
It's all learning curves.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, and it kind of uses different brain powers.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Absolutely. Well, Emily, thank you so much for all of that wonderful information. It is actually now time for one of our favorite segments that actually, depending on how you look at it, requires some brain power or doesn't actually. But it is now time for
Sandwich of the Week.
On my road trip, ended up hitting up. I only had one sandwich on my road trip. Other than I ate pretty much pizza and got sick of it. I'm pizzaed out for the next month. But I got to have a really delicious, nothing super fancy, but it was a turkey and cheese. And but I put, you know, pickles and onions and mustard. No mayonnaise. Ew. And it was yummy. I wish I'd gotten a 12-inch. But Kelvin, what is your sandwich of the week this week?
All right. You ready for this one?
Oh,
you
I'm ready.
For this one, everybody?
I'm on the edge of my chair.
I mean, this is the sandwich. I mean, it's called the Kelvin Philly. I mean, I tell you, it's the best Philly cheesesteak you're going to ever have. So, granted, if you go to Jersey Mike's and say you want a Kelvin Philly, they're not going to know what you're talking about. So just say you're going to have Philly cheesesteak with no vegetables and jalapenos with no vegetables. So all you're going to have is jalapenos and steak and the bread. And
oh, man.
That is your Kelvin Philly.
I feel like that'd be easier to eat. But yeah, Emily, you got a sandwich of the week?
I sure do. Shout out to my regular breakfast, which is the Jimmy Dean croissant, egg, and sausage breakfast sandwich.
Can't go wrong.
That's delicious.
With that. Mm-hmm.
Keeps me going every day.
Super convenient, too. You just pop it in the microwave, and in 2 minutes,
nice.
You got yourself a breakfast. You don't have to make things.
Amen.
Right? Well, Emily, before we wrap up this episode, personally, from my observations, there's definitely some really good key takeaways. But is there anything in particular you would like our techie audience to walk away with?
I don't know. Nothing in particular. I mean, just keep learning this stuff because it, as we've talked about, it keeps changing and things get, you know, easier and better. So just keep messing with it because you'll find something new.
Yeah. And if you really, really want and are determined to learn something, you can learn it in 3 days. Like the 80-year-old that learned voiceover. I'm actually like that. I'm going to be honest. That's my first time hearing that. And I'm impressed. And but that is awesome. So yeah. Kelvin, anything you'd like to add before we wrap this episode?
I think one thing is I just want to encourage everybody. As you know me, you know I'm always trying to live beyond my own challenges.
Yep.
But we find ourselves in situations we don't know what to do. And I just want to encourage everybody to say, hey, let's have a little joy in this moment. And let's persevere. And let's overcome that barrier. So if I can lift your spirit up today, that's what I would love to do. And encourage you all to say, I'm going to find a little joy in whatever the hard thing that I'm dealing with today.
Absolutely. Well, Emily, thank you so much again for being on BLT with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. I had a great time. It was great chatting with you.
Absolutely. And thank you all so much for joining us yet again for another episode of Blind Level Tech. I'm actually not sure. Okay, when is this coming out? Actually, believe it or not, I completely forgot it. I'm a dunce. Our Audio Trekkers hike is literally like a couple of days away. And there is still time to register. You can still go to aftersight.org/hike and come join the Audio Trekkers and join Team Blind Level Tech, because we are going to kill it during this hike.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we're going to hip, hip, and horse, horse, and gallop, gallop.
Hippopotamuses and horses. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I actually kind of forgot about that. So I can't believe it, too. We're having all sorts of fun
with
that.
I'm giving you a horse outfit. You're going to have a horse outfit.
Can I just have a neighing sound button, though, too? Like yeah, from Build-A-Bear?
Yeah, brr, brr.
And yes, actually, if you want to see Kelvin and meet our hosts, come and hike with us. Or if you don't want to go hiking, there is also a nature bathing experience that is going to be put on by our senior programming managers. Her name is Angie, and she's actually she's been on a couple podcasts before, but she's going to do this whole really cool nature bathing experience as well for those who don't want to hike. I'll be hovering around, shoving the field recorder in people's faces, doing some good old field interviews because they are fun, right? You know, I don't know, they're kind of fun. But well, anyway, with that being said, we're going to end this episode and wrap it up. Until next week, my name is Evan Starnes, and this is Kelvin Crosby.
Go live beyond your challenges and plug in your device.